Welcome. You are listening to the CMS Luxembourg podcast, where our legal experts and industry leaders from around the world provide key insight on a diverse range of topics. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jana, and I am a managing associate at our CMS Luxembourg tax practice. And I have the pleasure today to host our three transfer pricing specialists, Mohamed Ashtaib and Alexis Bernard, both of which are counsel and TP specialists at our CMS office in Paris, and Imera Navarro, our senior associate and also transfer pricing specialist at our CMS Luxembourg office. And in today's episode, we will discuss perhaps the most common intercompany financial transactions. This is intercompany loans. And historically, loans between related parties have represented an important part of the world's economy in a sense that they allow multinational groups to access funding without using external borrowings. Intercompany loans might be preferred since they tend to be less strict, more efficient, and easier to get. Now, with this in mind, Imelda, what are loans relevant in a transfer pricing concept? What is the general framework for interest payments in Luxembourg?
Thank you, Jana. Thanks for the question. Well, in recent years, the world has witnessed an increase on intercompany financial transactions, such as loans, but not only loans, also cash pullings, guarantees, etc. The COVID-19 pandemic and other world conflicts have caused group companies to rely to a greater extent on internal funding rather than approaching banks or external financing to fund their operations. From a tax perspective, and subject to certain limitations, such as the interest deduction limitation rules, interest payments are deductible as long as they are compliant with the arm's length principle, which makes the debt financing attractive to multinational enterprises. And therefore, the substantiation and or demonstration of the arm's length character of an interest rate is a fundamental aspect when we are rendering services, tax services to our clients. So important to keep in mind. Now, from a Luxembourg point of view, as there is no specific guidance from tax authorities on how to determine an arm's length interest rate, taxpayers can, and they actually should, rely on the OECD principles, specifically the transfer pricing guidelines. So the application of the arm's length principle normally relies on a comparison of prices or margins used by independent third parties in similar circumstances. Of course, under the understanding that this comparison is appropriate, or in other words, that it's sufficiently similar in accordance with the comparability factors listed in the transfer pricing guidelines, such as contractual terms, the business strategies, the functional analysis, etc. In addition to this, the correct determination of an arm's length interest rate is very important, as it usually involves at least two jurisdictions and can potentially become a more complicated issue where the local legislation and local practices of the jurisdictions involved might not be in line, which can create, of course, problems for the deductibility of interest payments.
Thank you, Imelda, for this brief overview over the Luxembourg transfer pricing framework on intra-group interest payments. Now, Mohamed, what is the general framework for interest payments in France?
Thank you. Today, justifying the arm's length character of an interest rate in France is really a hot topic. French rules provided that interest paid to related companies, whether they are French or foreign entities, are tax deductible within a limit. So what we call the safe harbor rate. But the question, if taxpayers want to deduct more than this safe harbor rate, they should demonstrate that the borrowing entity could have obtained that level of interest rate from independent financial institutions under similar conditions. So the question is how to calculate this so-called safe harbor. First, it is calculated on a quarterly basis. So we have four safe harbors per year. Second, it is an annual average of effective interest rates, which are granted by financial institutions for variable rate loans to companies asking for credits with a maturity of more than 2 years. Now, this safe harbor is very low. Just to give you some figures, for example, for the first semester of 2022, it was equal to 1.13%. And it rose to 1.96% in the second trimester. So if taxpayers want to deduct more interest, they should provide evidence that the rate they applied are arm's length. Why taxpayers apply rates higher than the safe harbor? This is one question. Because simply these rates applied by taxpayers reflect the characteristics of the borrowing entities, but also those of the characteristics of the credits, for example, the maturity, the subordination, and so on and so forth. The burden of proof is on taxpayers. So contrary to other intercompany transactions, taxpayers for financial transactions have to provide the economic analysis confirming that the rates applied are arm's length. Now, how to build a robust transfer pricing economic analysis that meet the requirements of French tax authorities? And either case law are favorable to taxpayers or administrative guidance shed new light on this issue.
Thank you, Mohamed. Now that we have established the importance of the arm's length character both under Luxembourg and French transfer pricing rules, Alexi, tell me, what would be the best method for determining an interest rate which should be at arm's length?
Thanks, Jana. So according to the French administrative guidelines recently published in January 2021, taxpayers are free to provide any proof to justify the arm's length nature of interest rates. However, these guidelines specify three methodologies. So the first one, which is considered to be the preferred one, consists in the provision of comparable loans. Such loans may be concluded either by the taxpayer and independent financial institutions, what we call internal comparables, or it could be loans concluded by a third-party company having a credit risk profile similar to the one of the taxpayer and independent financial institution, what we call external comparables. Then we have a second methodology, which can be applied if required, which relies on the use of the yield of realistic alternative transaction to the intercompany loan. This notably includes the use of the yield of bonds issued by companies with comparable economic characteristics. And finally, the third methodology, which is the one which can be applied in the worst case scenario, consists in the application of economic models that try to approach the arm's length interest rate through the addition of different components. For example, you can add a risk-free rate plus a credit risk premium plus potential adjustments. Apart from these three methodologies, it should be noted that French administrative guidelines specify that written offer from banks should not be considered as providing evidence to the, that the arm's length principle has been observed. Such offers could be used only to corroborate an analysis based on comparables. So at the end of the day, the application of the CUP method for intercompany financing is generally preferred. Such methodology consists in a two-step process. First, you have to define the scoring of the borrowing entity, and then you need to conduct a search for a comparable transaction.
Thank you for this insightful explanation, Alexei. Now, Imelda, are there any specific guidance from the Luxembourg tax authorities that would help taxpayers to determine which method to choose for their intragroup transactions?
Well, as I mentioned before, Jana, the Luxembourg tax authorities do not give a specific guidance on how to substantiate an arm's length interest rate. However, following TP guidelines, taxpayers are obliged to choose the most appropriate methodology in all cases. And so this choice must be made on a case-by-case analysis, considering the information available at the time when the transaction is put in place. So the moment when the parties enter into the loan agreement. In this respect, the TP guidelines present the most common methods used to determine an arm's length interest rate. Alexei already explained these methodologies. So the internal or external COP, the cost of funds, economic modeling, bank opinions, etc. So it is important to note that when selecting a method, the taxpayers should consider local practices in the applicable countries. So, for example, in a benchmark done for the jurisdictions of Luxembourg and France, the bank offers or bank opinions, as Alexei was saying, would most probably not be the most appropriate method, even though in Luxembourg they should be accepted. They should not be accepted in France, and therefore this methodology would not be the most appropriate one. And on another point, and the same as in France, realistically speaking, due to the publicly available information, the COP method may be the easiest method to apply, considering items like the credit rating, terms and conditions of the loan, such as maturity, subordination, and security. An arm's length interest rate can be indeed estimated using search tools in databases. In Luxembourg, it's important to say that the tax authorities also rely on these databases when reviewing transfer pricing documentation of taxpayers.
And what role does the credit rating of the borrower play in the pricing of loans?
Well, in principle, the credit worthiness of the borrowing entity in a loan is one of the main factors that independent investors or lenders would take into consideration for the determination of an interest rate. Therefore, the credit ratings are useful in determining that credit worthiness. And for this reason, they have become a very important part of a transfer pricing analysis when we're dealing with financial transactions. In the specific case of publicly traded companies, locating a credit score or a credit rating might not be a significantly difficult task because this information is publicly available. However, when credit ratings are not available, there are tools developed by these credit scoring agencies that can be used instead. This is particularly relevant for private deals for which the parties involved are not rated, or in the case of newly created companies, the so-called special purpose vehicles or SPVs. Now, it's important to know that indeed these databases are very useful, these tools are very useful. However, it is important also to be aware of their own limitations. For example, for the case of non-corporate companies or real estate SPVs, these tools might not be the best option to use. For these cases, some credit rating agencies have issued a specific guidance on how to score an SPV or a real estate company. These approaches combine qualitative and quantitative information, and a credit rating score can be built up for each particular case. So also in the case of newly created SPVs for which no financial information is available, such as annual accounts, the use of forecasted financial information can also be used. In this way, the credit rating estimation is a case-by-case analysis. So taxpayers should be able to demonstrate the reasonings behind their conclusions and to reproduce a search in case of questioning by tax authorities. Therefore, in my opinion, producing sound transfer pricing documentation is key for taxpayers.
Thank you, Imelda. Now, Mohamed, what importance do the French tax authorities place on the creditworthiness of the borrower in intragroup financial transactions?
Thank you, Yana. The interest rate applied to financial transactions depends on the creditworthiness of the borrowing company. That means its credit risk and the quality of the paper it issues. As you know, the creditworthiness is subject sometimes of an official assessment made by independent rating agencies. There are three most companies or well-known rating agencies, Moody's, Standard & Poor's, and Fitch. But if you are a small or medium company, generally, you are not requesting these rating agencies to perform this analysis of your creditworthiness because, first, it is time-consuming, and second, it is very costly. It is interesting for a group when it issues bonds on the market to request the help of a rating agency, but this is not the case for a small company. And for practical reasons, affiliates of groups don't ask a rating agency to assist them in determining their creditworthiness. And the question is how to determine this creditworthiness if the companies are not willing to ask independent rating agencies. The answer is that there is a good alternative, which is using scoring tools. And these scoring tools are published by the same rating agencies. For example, we have RiskCalc edited or published by Moody's. We have S&P Capital IQ, which is published by Standard & Poor's. So there is a good alternative. For your information, French tax authorities were very unwilling to accept a few months ago analysis performed based on those scoring tools. But favorable, let me say, favorable wind was blowing since the Supreme Court ruled for the use of these scoring tools. So this is an important point. The second one, you have to perform a robust economic analysis and to use relevant financial information. And in this respect, if you have a company which owns some other companies, the financial data should be determined on a consolidated basis. The second point, you have to use both qualitative and quantitative data. And the last point to be kept in mind, you have to use both historic and forecast financial data.
Thank you very much. Now, Alexei, the creditworthiness of the borrower has been determined. How do you conduct an appropriate search for comparable transactions? And what is the importance of the comparability?
Thanks, Jenna. So as a preliminary remark, in the absence of internal comparables, it is very difficult to identify external loans concluded between third parties, considering the lack of public information available within the database. Consequently, we are used to searching for bonds issued by comparable companies with similar credit risk profile. Further to the scoring of the borrower, search criteria applied within the database to identify comparable bonds primarily relate to the currency of the bonds, the security level, and the maturity of the bonds. However, as usual, it is really hard to identify the perfect comparables. And thus, French tax authorities are used to systematically challenge the comparability of the bonds identified, notably because the industry of the borrower and the amount of the transaction are different from the tested transaction. So French administrative guidelines, also recently published, also specify that regarding the industry of the borrower, it is generally possible to extend the panel to companies that do not pursue the same activity as the borrowing company or come from sectors other than the one of the borrowing company. And regarding the amount of the transaction, non-comparable amounts of transaction must not lead to an exclusion from the panel for this sole reason. In addition, the fact that an insurer is not the same, is not of the same size as the borrowing company does not lead to its exclusion from the panel for this sole reason. Here again, recent guidelines and recent publications from the French tax authorities are in favor of the taxpayer and thus suggest a bright future, allowing them to justify the arm's length nature of the intercompany interest rate applied without systematically facing the criticism of the French tax authorities.
In this regard, I would just add that in practice, as Alexis was saying, the search of comparable transactions is not a simple and straightforward task. And normally, it's a step that you would go back and forth in searching and finding your comparables. As mentioned, due to the availability of public information, the use of bonds as a proxy to price loans would be the most suitable solution. Now, in most cases, a sole credit rating would not give any results in databases, and consequently, a range of credit scores should be used in order for databases to throw some results. In addition to this and to the credit rating, items such as the country or region of risk, the currency, the industry, and maturity, among others, should also be included in the search to increase comparability.
Now, Imeda, tell me, what are the key takeaways of today's discussion?
Thank you, Jana. Well, I would say that even though most jurisdictions rely on the OECD guidelines, local tax authorities from each jurisdiction are free to provide a specific guidance on certain topics. And so this, in combination with an increased focus given to financial transactions by tax authorities worldwide, creates a particularly tricky situation for taxpayers. Now, for illustration purposes, and as an example, last year, the Administrative Tribunal in Luxembourg decided in a case acknowledging that any value in an interest rate full range determined in a TP benchmark satisfies the arm's length principle. This is important to note, considering that most countries have specific regulations when using the so-called ranges. In general, the use of interquartile ranges is commonly accepted as opposed to the full range. However, this, as observed, this tribunal makes it possible for Luxembourg taxpayers to apply any value in the full range, which can represent an opportunity in tax planning. In such case, of course, it remains to be checked whether this approach would be compatible with other jurisdictions or not.
Thank you, Imelda, Mohamed, and Alexi, for taking the time to speak to us today. We hope that today's discussion has been insightful for all of you. If you have any further questions on what we discussed, please do not hesitate to contact our transfer pricing experts, Mohamed, Alexi, or Imelda. Thank you very much for listening today, and don't miss our next episode on recent transfer pricing trends.